Well, good morning. Happy Easter. Yeah, you're still asleep. This isn't even the 8 o'clock service. You guys should be more awake than that. Man, what a phenomenal day. And welcome. For those of you who are with us for the first time, let me just introduce myself, whether you're here in person or listening, watching online. My name's Chris, and I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And this morning, we're coming together to celebrate this moment in history, this moment called Easter. And as Dana came to me a couple months ago with that song, I have to admit, I was a little skeptical at first. I'd heard the song on the radio, and I thought that it was just another song celebrating the loss of control. But as I sat down and I began to read through the lyrics, I was shocked, as some of you were. Not just that you were hearing it here, but I was shocked at the story, at what you see. Because when you look at it for what it actually is, when you look at it for what the artist is actually communicating, you see something that, to be honest with you, I think we see a lot, especially in the young artists that are beginning to emerge within our culture. And that is that there's just this brutal honesty. This brutal honesty about the journey that we're on. This brutal honesty about the pressures that we live with. And this world that we live in where there's all of these expectations of what we're going to be and what we're going to do and what we have to be or what we have to do in order to be loved, in order to be accepted, in order to be valued. And she begins and she talks about this life that she's living in order to, in some way, shape, or form, feel the love. But it's crazy because it's intertwined and mixed with this shame. And you see this story, this brutally honest story of the world in which we live. And as we're here today, her story may not be your story, but what I've found is that almost all of us can connect in some way to that story, this life lived of pressure and expectation. That if we really want to be loved, if we really want to be valued, if we really want for the people around us to embrace us, then there's all of these expectations of what we have to be and what we have to do and what we have to live up to. And it can cost us some amazing things in our lives. Because it seems that no matter how much you try to be, no matter how much you try to do, no matter how much you try to live up to the expectations, they're still calling for more. They never seem to be satisfied. There's just this unsatisfiable, ever-expanding call for you to be more, to do more, to accomplish more. The pressures and the expectations, they come from all sorts of different places, right? And some of them are cultural. Some of them are just the world in which we live and the expectations that the culture has on us of what we're going to be or what we should be or what it means to be successful or what it means to actually be valuable. Sometimes they come from family. We grow up inside of households where it's communicated this idea of success and what we have to live up to and what we have to prove. And some of us live our entire lives trying to, in some way, shape, or form, be who we need to be in order for them to love us. Sometimes even after they're gone. To be accepted, to be valued, they come from all sorts of different places. Sometimes outside of us, sometimes even from within us. that we are supposed to be something more. We're supposed to be able to do better. You listen to this, to the song, and you see this artist who speaks so brutally honestly about this journey that I think almost all of us, actually, I think all of us are on. Journey that is filled with expectations and pressure. If we want to truly be loved, then we have to be, we have to do. Some of you, as you came in here today, that's exactly what you expected to hear. As a matter of fact, some of you came and today's Easter, so you come to church because it's Easter, but even as you walked in today, you're nervous and you're a little bit on edge because you're expecting to hear what you've heard in the past, and that is really just more of what you hear around you, that if you want for God to love you, if you want for God to accept you, if you want for God to value you, then you need to be something. You need to live up to something. You need to prove something. And you came because your friend keeps bothering you, and you finally told him, listen, I'll go on Easter if you just promise me you'll never invite me again. And so you came, but even as you sit here, you're nervous because you've heard it before. You've heard it before. The pressures, the expectations, they come from all sorts of different places. Oftentimes from places just like this, services just like this. And as you look at the scriptures and as you look at this idea of God, It could almost be possible for you to believe that that's the message of God. If it weren't for the person, if it weren't for the person that we're here to talk about today, if it weren't for Jesus Christ, for this one who comes on the scene and changes everything. Everything. This is why it's so important for you to actually be reading through God's Word. And we talk about this a lot here at Hoboken Grace, the importance of you actually reading through the Scriptures. And I know some of you are here today and you say, well, I don't believe the Bible. So I'm not going to read the Bible. I don't believe it's true. You don't read anything because you believe it's true. You realize that, right? Like, none of you picked up The Hunger Games because you thought, oh, this is true. None of you. If you did, then you can come see me afterwards. There's another conversation we need to have. Have some people for you to see. You don't read any book for that reason. And so I encourage you, no matter where you are, no matter where you are on this journey, this is a book. This book changed the world. You should read it. And when you do, you might find that the God that you experience is not at all the God that you expected. Because when you begin to read it, you have to confront this one, Jesus. You come in contact with the beauty of this one, Jesus. And as Jesus comes on the scene, the truth is, he talks about the pressure. He talks about the expectations. He talks about this world that we live in where we're constantly trying to impress one another. We're constantly trying to earn the love of those around us. We're trying to, in some way, shape, or form, live up to who they feel we should be in order to be valued by them. He talks about it, but he talks about it in a way that you wouldn't expect. Because I would expect if someone were to come representing God, that he would come to make sure that the expectations are clear.
Some of you think that's what Jesus was about, that's why Jesus came, to be able to make sure that the expectations were clear. And that's what I would expect. I would expect for him to come on the scene and say, listen, you're not really understanding what God needs from you. You're not really understanding what God expects from you in order for you to be loved by him, in order for you to be valued by him. So I just want to make sure that it's really clear what the expectations are so that you can live up to those expectations and you can find your way back to God. That's what I would expect. But Jesus comes on the scene and he starts to do things that, to be honest with you, make the people around him really, really frustrated, at times really, really angry. Because he comes on the scene and rather than clarifying the expectations, rather than stepping into people's lives and calling them to live up to the expectations, he starts to talk about this in an entirely new way. In an entirely new way. The religious leaders, the priests and the teachers of religious law actually become almost infuriated with him because of the way that he talks about this, because they had been teaching people, listen, these are the expectations, and they had gone to great lengths. As a matter of fact, they'd written book upon book upon book upon book to make sure that people understood, listen, this is what you need to be if you want God to love you. This is how you need to live if you want God to actually value you and accept you. You know, that longing that you have to be accepted by the one who created you. If you want that, this is what you need to look like. But then Jesus comes on the scene. And he begins to talk about it in an entirely different way. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 11, you find him in the midst of an argument with the religious leaders of his day, and he's talking about this, and he's talking about what they've taught people. They're in the middle of a really friendly argument in which he says to them, you are basically hidden graves, which is not a term of endearment, in case you're wondering. And they're in the midst of this thing going back and forth. And as they're going back and forth in Luke 11, verse 46, Jesus speaks directly to this idea of expectation and pressure. He says, yes, Jesus says, what sorrow also awaits you, which is always great when you hear from Jesus. What sorrow awaits you? Experts in religious law, for you crush people with unbearable religious demands, and you never lift a finger to ease the burden. You would expect that if God were to send someone to us, that it would be to clarify the expectations. But Jesus comes in and he says, listen, what are you guys doing? And he says to the religious leaders, what are you doing? Like, you're crushing each other with these unbearable religious demands and doing nothing to help each other along the way. The pressures, the expectations, they come from all sorts of different places, oftentimes places like this. But when you come to Jesus, you find someone who changes everything. As a matter of fact, even when Jesus launches his public ministry, he talks about the idea of pressure. He talks about this idea of expectation and the system in which we've lived. And he says something quite amazing. It's completely misunderstood when he says it, but when you look at the story as a whole, when you get to the end of the story, you understand what it is that he's talking about at the beginning. And at the beginning, he says, listen, here, as I start my public ministry, let me just tell you why I'm here, which is nice of him to do. And he says, listen, I'm just going to make it really, really clear for you what it is that I'm here to do and why I've come to you. He actually quotes a passage. You find it in Luke chapter 4. Verse 18, in your online program, it's our memory verse for today. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus is in the temple and he stands up to read this passage and listen to what it says. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He says, here's the deal. Here's why I'm here.
says, he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free. He stands up and he says, here's what I'm here to do. I'm here to set people free. That the captives would be released, that the blind would see, that the oppressed would be set free. Now, for the people who heard him, especially for his disciples, they thought that he was talking about a physical oppression. They thought that he was talking about specifically the Roman oppression over the nation of Israel. And they thought that what he was there to do was that he was there to overthrow that oppression and that he was there to set them free from that captivity. They actually ask him about it quite a bit. Even after he comes back from the grave, even after he's risen, in Acts 1:6, it says, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? They misunderstood what it was that he was doing, what it was that he was there to accomplish. They understood it was about freedom. They just didn't understand which freedom he was talking about. Jesus says, let me tell you why I'm here. And he knew they wouldn't understand it. He said, but let me tell you why I'm here. I'm here to set you free. Now, for some of you, the message that you've heard about God has nothing to do with freedom. But listen to the words of Jesus. Listen to the words of Jesus. I'm here that the captives would be released, that the blind would see, that the oppressed would be set free. It's not until the story ends that we understand the fullness of what it is that he's doing. It's not until we see him walk through this moment that we remember today, this moment called Easter, this moment that we've been walking through throughout the weekend of Good Friday, where he goes to that cross, and Easter morning where he walks out of that tomb. It's not until afterwards that those who follow him begin to understand, wait a second, this wasn't about a physical oppression. This was about something far deeper. This was about something that not just the nation of Israel lived under, but that's something that all of us live under. There are two places in the scriptures where I think that this is broken down for us in just a remarkably beautiful way. The first one is found in Romans chapter 3. Both of them are written by a man named Paul. And if you're here today and you're nervous, you don't really like the church, you don't really want anything to do with the church, you would love this guy Paul. He hated the church. He tried to destroy the church. He did everything that he could to literally kill off the church. All right, you couldn't possibly hate the church worse than he does. So you're going to love this guy, Paul. And Paul despises the church until one day he meets Jesus. And as is the case for so many of us, everything changes. And Paul, after he meets Jesus, he's trying to help people understand why Jesus came. He's trying to help them understand the fullness of what Jesus was talking about when he launched his ministry, this idea of freedom. And there's two places in particular where he breaks this down. I want to take you to these two passages, because as we celebrate Easter this morning, we have to grab a hold of this, because if we don't, we will miss the freedom that it's all about. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 21, Paul's writing to the church in Rome. And as he's writing to the church, he's breaking this down for them. And he begins, he says this. He says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him. Now this is about more than just being made right with him. This is about everything that we've been talking about as it pertains to love and acceptance. And he says, listen, you need to understand something. God, as he stepped into our experience, as he stepped into our lives, he's shown us a way to be able to once again be reconnected with him, to experience that love that we crave, to be able to experience that acceptance that we long for, to finally be in a relationship with God where we're not afraid
He says, listen, church. God has come to us and he's shown us a way to be made right with him, to be able to experience those things that we long for in him and the one who formed us and created us. He says he's shown us a way, but listen what he says. He says he's shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. He says, but it's something completely different. It's more different than you could possibly imagine. And Jesus talks about this when he's here on earth. And as he's here on earth, he's actually interacting with some people about fasting. And they're having a hard time with the fact that his disciples aren't fasting at the time and they're going back and forth. And Jesus tells this interesting story. He says, listen, you guys, as you're interacting with me, it's like you're taking new wine and trying to put it into an old wineskin. He says it doesn't work that way. If you put new wine into an old wineskin, it says it's just going to burst. He says, or it's like you're trying to take this new cloth and sew it onto an old garment. He says, you need to understand something about me. I'm not just a little bit different. I'm not just a new version of the old thing. He says, no, I'm something completely new. And Paul's trying to help them understand this. He says, listen, God's shown us this unbelievable new thing in Jesus Christ. A new way to be made right with him, but it doesn't have anything to do with the old system of you have to be something or you have to be good enough or you have to in some way, shape, or form change yourself in order to get to where you need to be. And then if you get there, you'll finally be loved. He says, no, it doesn't work that way anymore. He's shown us this new way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. He says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. He says, this is all about Jesus Christ. He says, in this process of us stepping back in where we can know that God loves us, that we can know that we're accepted, he says, it has everything to do with us stepping into this relationship with Christ, placing our faith in Christ. And this is true for anyone or for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. And some of you hear us say that here at Hope, Hope, and Grace week after week after week. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. This comes from this passage. This isn't something we made up. This comes from the Word of God. It doesn't matter. I don't care who you are today. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what's in your past. It doesn't matter. It says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And he acknowledges what we already know. Which is why, for some of us, the only time that we step into a church is Easter. Why? Because I can't do that. And the ridiculous thing is that sometimes there are people in church who act like we do that. No, we don't. We never live up to the standard. It's ridiculous. It's impossible. And Paul acknowledges it. He says, listen, all of us, if it has to do with me earning God's love, if my love from God has to do with what I do, I'm screwed. I have no hope. And Paul didn't have any hope. He had already killed all sorts of Christians. I mean, this guy is done. He says, yeah, we've all sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. He says, but there's a new way. He says, yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus. And stick with me. I'm going to read this and I'm going to break it down for you. He says, he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. And he begins to walk us through what we looked at on Good Friday. That God says, no, with Jesus Christ, I'm going to do something to change the whole paradigm. And it's no longer going to be about the expectations. It's actually not going to have anything to do with you at all. Because let's be honest, if it has to do with you, you're just going to screw it up. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to do it in a way that doesn't have anything to do with you. And so Jesus is going to come. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to live the life that you and I should have lived. And then he comes to us and he says, here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you'll give me all of the failed expectations, if you'll give me all of the brokenness, if you'll give me all the... all the times, and this has to do with two different relationships. It has to do with our relationship with God. It has to do with our relationship with the people around us. He says, if you give me all the times that you didn't love, all the times that you chose selfishness, all the times that... He says, if you give me that, here's what I'll do. I'll give you the beauty of how I live my life. I'll give it to you. What? Yeah. Let's trade. Let's trade. And I'll go to the cross. And the scripture said that God placed our sin on Christ. He says, I'll go to the cross. I'll go to the cross and I'll pay for it. He says, you just give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Let's be honest. If this has to do with you, it's never going to happen. You give it to me. I'll pay for it. And I'll give you the beauty of how I live my life. This unbelievable exchange. And Paul's writing to the Romans saying, listen, you have to grab a hold of this. The whole paradigm has shifted. The whole thing is different now. We don't live under the oppression that we used to live under. And in this passage in particular, he's talking about how it impacts our relationship with God. But it's interesting when you go to 2 Corinthians, he expands that. And in 2 Corinthians, he's talking about the impact of what Jesus Christ has done for us, but he expands it into our relationships with each other as well. And he's writing to a church that doesn't get it. He's writing to a church that's still living under this old system. Listen to what he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning of verse 16. It says this. It says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. And he's talking about their interactions with one another. He says, not only did this change the way that we interact with God, he says, but this changes the way that we interact with one another. We don't live in a world where we love only based on the other person. We don't live in a world where we have to worry about living up to each other's expectations, because if we don't, then we're not going to be loved. He says, no, Jesus is trying to change the whole thing. And so Paul's writing to his church and he says, inside your community, this has got to change. And rather than you just loving the people that live up to your expectations, rather than you just loving the people, he says, no, this whole thing changes now. We don't evaluate each other that way. We don't live in a world that works that way anymore. Jesus Christ came for us to be free. To be free. There's a book that I love reading to my kids. I usually just read it by myself as they run around me, but I'm hoping that it sinks in as they hear it over and over again. It's a book about these people called, I think it's the Wumuks, or I'm not sure that I pronounced it right, but these little wooden people. I love this story because it's such a beautiful picture of the world in which we live. And these little wooden people, they spend their days, they go around and they just put dots on each other or stars based on whether or not the person's actions were good or bad, whether or not they lived up to the expectations. And if they did a great job, they'd get a star. If they didn't, they'd get a dot. And the story is about this one little boy in particular who's just covered with dots. He can't do anything right. Every time he turns around, he screws up. His life is full of pressure, constant pressure. He's trying to do just something to be loved, to be valued, to be accepted. And he's just about given up when he meets this little girl with no dots or stars. And so he goes up and he tries to put a dot on her, but it won't stick. And there are others who see that she doesn't have any dots, so they try to give her a star because obviously she must be doing something right if she doesn't have any dots, but it won't stick. No matter what she does, no matter how people try, it won't stick. And so he goes up to her and he says, how is this possible? Why is it that the dots and the stars, they won't stick to you? She says, let me introduce you to someone. And she takes him to meet Eli, the woodcarver, the one who had created them. And as he steps into Eli's presence, he's terrified because he's covered in dots. But rather than hearing what he should be, rather than hearing about all the times that he's fallen short or how he's failed to meet the expectations that the woodcarver had for him, the woodcarver takes him and brings him up into his lap and begins to talk to him about how he was beautifully crafted, beautifully formed, with intention and purpose. As the little boy leaves that day, Eli encourages, keep coming back. And as he walks out, one of the dots falls to the ground. Paul's writing to 2 Corinthians and he says, listen, stop. The dots in the star system is over. It's over. Living this life of trying to impress and live up to and meet expectations, he says, it's over. And he walks them through it, just like he walks the Romans through it. And so he says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in that way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And here's the amazing thing about what Jesus Christ has done. Not only does he give his life so that we can be forgiven, but what we're here to celebrate today is that he walks out of that grave so that we could be made new. So that we could leave behind the whole old system. And he says, listen what God's done for you. The whole paradigm has changed. He says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, exactly what we talk about in Romans, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. He says, and so our goal now, our mission is to tell people that this whole thing has shifted, that this whole thing has changed. He says, as though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And once again, he comes back to the exchange. Jesus Christ steps on the scene and he says, here's what I'm here to do. I'm here to set you free. He says, I know what you've been living under. I know the system you live inside of. The system of, I'll love you if you live up to it. I'll love you if you're good enough. I'll love you if you prove in some way, shape, or form that you're valuable enough. It's going to end. It's going to end forever. And I love the three final words of Christ as he is on that cross. He starts and he says, here's what I'm here to do. And you come to the end of the story. And as he hangs there on that cross, with his final words, he calls out, It is finished. He said, I've come to destroy the old system, to set you free, and it is finished. As we come together this morning, I want to ask you this question. Is it finished for you? Is it actually finished for you? Could it actually be that Jesus loved you enough to finish it all? Don't miss the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians. He says that through Christ, God reconciled the world to himself. Here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter who you are today. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus Christ has finished it for you. The only question is what you will do with it. The only question is whether you will accept it, or whether you will continue to try to prove in some way, shape, or form that you can add to it. Some of you are here today and you've been told that Jesus Christ came to do this for you so that you could pay him back. Jesus Christ did not come for you to pay him back. Jesus Christ came to buy you back. It's finished. The question is, will you accept it? For some of us, as we're here, the next step for us is to accept it. This is the first time you've ever heard this, and it almost seems too good to be true. But I'm telling you, what Paul is telling the Romans, this is what he did. This is what he came for. And for some of you, as the band comes back on stage, the next step for you is to, today, where you are, to bow your head and to decide that from this day forward, it will be finished. That your relationship with God, that you have been reconciled back to God, that there's nothing that will ever come between you again, and all of the love that you long for, the acceptance and the value, that you can begin to explore the beauty of what God wants to do in your life in that way. I want to invite you this morning, as the band goes into this next song, just to bow your head where you are. To acknowledge what Paul acknowledges, that, listen, we've all fallen short, the reason that I can be in this conversation with you doesn't have anything to do with me. It has everything to do with what you've told me your son has done. To acknowledge how you've fallen short, but to accept the beauty. Don't allow God's grace to be too amazing for you to experience. Accept it. For others of you, you're here and you've heard this before and you've accepted it before, but Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. And as he's writing to them, he says to them, some of you have allowed yourself to once again be placed under the old system. You've allowed yourself to once again go back to this idea that you have to prove yourself to God. And even as you walked in here today, you walked in with all this guilt because of what happened this past week, or all this guilt of the way in which you failed this past week. You didn't live up to the expectations. Stop living like it's not finished. It doesn't mean that we're okay with our failures. We're walking into a series in the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about how do you live like it's finished. It doesn't mean that we're okay with hurting people, but it does mean that we stop allowing our faults and our failures to keep us from God because we're living like it's not finished. It's finished. It's finished once and for all. It will never come back.
It's finished.
There's not a moment of your life. There's not a moment of your life that you have to doubt His love or His acceptance. Not a moment of your life that you have to doubt how He feels about you. Jesus Christ has finished that. This morning we come together to remember that it is finished. To remember the one who exchanged His beauty for our brokenness. And celebrate the fact that He walked out of that tomb for us to be able to live in that forever. Settle for nothing less. It's finished. Father, that we would step into the fullness of what You've taught us and what You've shown us, and even for those of us who are here who've experienced this in the past, it's so easy for us to fall back into the old system, for us to once again become a slave to the old system of expectations and pressure. Father, I pray that today, as we come here to remember what happened that Easter morning, how You walked out of that tomb, to remember what happened that weekend, how You exchanged places with us, how You took the justice that we deserved so that we could be made free, so that we could be brought back to You. Father, I pray that we would commit to live like it's finished. I pray that we would today commit to live that way with You. And I pray that it would drive us to begin to explore the beauty of what it means to live that way with one another. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen.